With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Is hair a material?
Are biscuits a material?
Are crystals a material?
Is plastic a material?
Is porridge a material?
Can gases be a material?
Are eggs a material?
Is water a material?
What do you call everything that isn't a material?
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at your question.
And yet you continue to do so.
Hello and welcome back to Handmade, the making podcast with real talk about materials. As always, I'm your host, Anna Pajaisky, and this episode actually has a bit of a different format from the others. As you've heard in the introduction to every episode on this podcast, I often get asked materials questions by friends. Admittedly, most of the time my friends are trolling me about whether, like, clouds are materials or something. But sometimes, in amongst those trollings, come genuine materials queries. For example, last week I got tweeted by my good friend, the gorgeous science nerd, Oz Ismail. Oz said, "Ugh, silicone moulds are such a lie. My cake stuck to one after promises of not doing so. Paging material scientist Anna Pajaisky to explain yourself, even though you've probably never made any such promises on silicone's behalf." Naturally, I asked Oz for a bit more information.
Okay, so I used, here's what happened when I used a silicone mold. So the one I purchased had promises of, it promised so much. Basically, the description says, made of flexible silicone, BPA free. I actually don't know what BPA is, but I do know that Americans are obsessed with whether there's BPA in their products, because I see it in a lot of things. And cake molds are completely safe to use, but the promise that I was obsessed with was these silicone baking molds ensure that your cakes come out clean every single time and in one piece. Now, was that what happened? I, first of all, I feel like I should also say that these are not just any silicone molds. They are jumbo donut cake pans because I was making a birthday cake for a friend of mine who's kind of obsessed with donuts. And also because donuts are kind of a big deal in Portland. So I bought these molds. I tried to make a donut cake last night and it was all fine until I tried to get the cake out, because I thought, oh, this is great, I can just like flip it and the cake is just going to come out, because that's kind of what the product said. But what ended up happening was the beginning, like the widest part of the cake came out, but as you went into like the indent, so it's kind of like, imagine like a donut cut in half, right? So it's two molds and you're meant to join the two halves to make this one whole donut cake. And sort of the curvy part stuck to the bottom. And I actually had greased it, even though I thought I probably don't need to grease it because it's very like slippery and shiny, but it still got stuck. And so one half of the donut completely fell apart. And I had to kind of mold it with my hands. I just kind of pushed the cake back into like this donut shape. But it's lucky that it comes in two parts, because I was like, well, I can make that the base. And so the other part, I kind of very gently like stuck a knife into it. And I guess this is where it was handy that it was silicone, because it kind of just like bent or like moved away as I was pushing the knife in, because it was flexible. Still got really stuck, but kind of came out without breaking. But then like the cake did almost break in half. But that might just be the structure of the cake I made. I don't know. But I suppose I was just really excited, because I had heard all these amazing promises that silicone kitchenware had made. And I say promises, it's just me just reading the information on products, which are obviously written to like make you buy them. So I fell for it. I'm a huge idiot falling for these promises. Or maybe there is something I'm doing wrong and not using these silicone molds that are probably perfect for use. So yeah, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell me what it's all about. Tell me why silicone is good and why it's bad.
Before we delve into these extremely important materials questions, I wanted to lay down some facts about silicone. So what we're talking about here is silicone rubber, which is a sort of waterproof, stretchy, rubbery synthetic polymer used for stuff like grouting and adhesives, and also lots of baking and cookware. Silicone does contain silicone, but they are not to be confused. Silicon on its own is like a hard, grey, shiny semiconductor material that we use in like computers and phones and electronics and stuff and solar cells. Please don't be that guy that calls silicone silicon. That's a materials public service announcement for everyone. Oz asked me why silicone is good and why silicone is bad. I mean, you know, talk about loaded questions for a material scientist. But here's my list of good things about silicone. It's cheap, it's very rubbery and flexible, so it can easily release the bakes inside, or so it claims. It's waterproof and chemically resistant, so it's not going to cause nasty reactions with your food. It's completely food safe, and it can be recycled. But that brings me on to some of the bad things about silicone, which is that although it can technically be recycled, apparently lots of curbside recycling pickups won't actually accept and process that silicone. So it does actually often end up in landfill. And secondly, as Oz found, it is extremely flexible, but that means that it can also cause damage to the cooked cake when that mold flexes too much, when the cake is in itself very flexible, and so that can cause cracking as it comes out of the oven. Now, obviously, these molds are sold for a very wide variety of baking applications. But clearly they're not up to the job for some of the ways that people are using these silicone molds. And not everyone agrees with us that silicone molds are, quote, such a lie. For example, astrophysicist and science writer Alfredo Carpinetti dived in defence of silicone molds on Twitter for some types of baking, such as donuts. But he said that he had had problems with silicone for his panna cotta. This, to me, called for a virtual bake-off. So here were Alfredo's results.
All right. So I've done some lovely matcha panna cotta in some silicone molds, because my glass ramekins were a little bit too big to just make the panna cotta in. And I had this cupcake molds that I thought of using, and I followed the standard instruction for when you make panna cotta. You grease your little mold, and then when you're ready to remove the panna cotta, and I'm doing it right this moment, you put the bottom of the mold in a little bit of hot water. You take a knife or something to sort of loosen the edges, and then you just turn it upside down and pop. My mom has some copper molds that work fantastic. They have awesome design and looks great. And I thought, oh, it's going to be amazing in the same way. But instead is really, 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 really not the case for the silicone mold. I can still, like, they are well greased, but they don't, things just don't come out properly. Don't know why. This is Alfredo again, and I have another test for silicone molds, something that has never disappointed me so far, and it could be that I am biased, but I feel very good about this, and is some silicone molds for donuts, and done the same thing as I've done for the panna cotta. I've greased the mold, and I will just now pop the first two donuts onto a plate, and they came out perfectly, perfectly, with no residue on the actual mold. So why there is such difference? Is it the molds? Is it the consistency of the what I put in? Type of cake? Probably donuts are thicker than panna cotta, etc. Why, Anna? Explain it to me.
Some more great questions, Alfredo. Now, at this point, I did have my suspicions as to the material answers to these sorry bakers. But for an expert opinion, I decided it was time to call in everyone's favourite star baker, Andrew Smith, to set the record straight.
Oh, Anna. So this is a bit of a three-parter. Part one, why silicone in the first place? So the first thing to say, any professional chef that I know for cakes, anything like that, uses metal. It's a better conductor. It's able to cook things quicker. I've never got on with silicone for cooking anything. So I'm metal through and through. But there are some arguments for using silicone. So there was a very successful baker, Bryony, on Bake Off from a few years ago. And I noticed that she used silicone molds for her larger cakes and it went very well for her. And actually, the fact that it's an insulator can be useful in baking a larger cake because you're less likely to get a thick crust forming on the outside if it's not getting to as high a temperature and caramelizing the edges as a metal tin is. So I can see an argument. If you want to insulate around the outside and you're cooking a large cake at a low temperature, silicone could be a way to go. So that's kind of first thing to say. Second thing is problem with silicone, because it wobbles when you lift it out of the oven, inevitably, especially if you're doing something like a ring mold, like Aussie, then it's going to bend, it's going to crumble. So you're trying to maneuver this whilst it's still warm, and a metal tin is going to hold everything in place until it's stabilized and set. Likelihood is, as you're lifting something out of an oven in a silicone mold, unless it's sat on another tray, things are going to start dislodging and breaking apart. And also when it comes to turning it out and inverting it, you're likely to be pulling it apart in different places if you don't line it properly. So that's why people get into a world of pain when it comes to silicone molds. But wait, there is a solution for using a silicone mold, which is going to be the subject of my third message. So how do you stop a silicone mold from sticking to your cake? Well, there is an ingenious solution that a previous winner of Bake Off called Nancy Birtwistle came up with. And she came up with this very clever lining paste that is vegetable fat and flour based. And you can keep this thing in a jar in the fridge. You paint it onto the outside of your mold. And it works for metal tins as well. You bake something and they just pop straight out. It is miraculous. I've tried it before. It works a charm in metal tins. That's definitely the way to go. You know, greasing with butter and things tends to fail because people don't either put on enough of it, or it's too soft and hasn't firmed up. Therefore, when you pour your cake mixture in, it just rubs off the butter layer. So that seems to be the key. So in summary, one, use metal if you've got it. But if you're doing a very large cake, there is an argument for silicone. Two, if you're using silicone, put it on another tray so when you lift it out of the oven, when it's still setting, you don't distort it and pre-break it apart, basically. And thirdly, if you are going to use silicone, make sure you use a lining paste or something else suitable. And here endeth the lesson. too long didn't read version. If you're going to buy a tin, please buy anodized aluminium. It will be worth your money and it'll get better with age, unlike silicon, which is rubbish, and unlike some non-stick tins, which get worse and scratched with age. Yeah. Anyway, this post was sponsored by aluminium tins.
Thanks for that, Andrew. Just to be clear, this podcast endorses all materials equally. So what should you at home be taking away from this virtual bake-off? Well, I think from a materials perspective, the key to a successful use of a silicone mould is comparing the materials properties of your favoured bake with the silicone mould. So let's take an extreme example. You can get silicone ice cube moulds, which work perfect because the ice is so hard and it's so rigid that the silicone mould is that much softer. And so it's really easy to pop out the ice cubes by just inverting the silicone holders. If you look at slightly softer substances like donuts, silicone it can maintain its effectiveness as a mould material because the donut is a very dense and doughy substance, and so it's able to like mechanically hold its own when getting turned out of the silicone molds. If we think about Oz's cake, it's very light and fluffy texture actually made it susceptible to breaking when the silicone mold flexed, because in this example the silicone becomes sort of slightly harder and more kind of robust than the cake itself, and so it was the cake that ended up breaking. And the extreme softness version of this would be Alfredo's panna cottas, whose materials properties are much, much softer than a silicone mould and much more kind of flexible and jelly-like. And so the harder and more robust and sort of denser your bake is going to be after it comes out of the mould, the more likely it is to have success in a silicone mould. That's all for this short episode this week. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That really, really helps. If you want to give a one-time financial donation, you can do so at supporter.acast.com/handmade. Say hi to us online. This whole episode came from a materials debate online, so let me know if you have any other materials questions and materials quandaries that you would like answered. On Twitter, we're at Real Talk, that's R-I-A-L Talk, and on Instagram, we're at Handmade Pod. As always, thanks very much to Dave Shepherd for our cover art and to Alex Lathbridge for the music mix. That's everything for this week. I'm not sure what I'll be bringing out next week, but do get in touch if you want any materials investigations to occur between now and then. Until then, thanks for listening. I've been Anna Prajewski, and I'll see you next time on Handmade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.